That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning, May 16th, 2015. And, well, here we are. At the beautiful Radio Ranch, blue sky, the sun is shining, and boy, we're glad to have some sunshine, maybe dry up a little bit of this rain. We've got mud puddles everywhere, but we welcome you this morning, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you have any comments or you want to call in, and I don't know how many questions we can get answered, but we can sure try. But got our coffee, got our Bibles, and we just need to open up with prayer. So, John, would you do that? Open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly this morning, grateful for this time that you've set aside for your people to get together and to encourage one another to love and to good deeds and to discuss the things that are going on in the world, but more importantly, Lord, to discuss how those things affect us as Christian followers of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding. Show us where it is in the Word, Lord, that you want us to go and how it applies to what's going on in this world today, Lord. We do ask that each and every day you draw us closer to you, that you would strengthen our bond between you, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that people would see us as true Christian followers of Jesus Christ and want what we have. Lord, I pray for grace and mercy for your people. Lord, those that do not yet know that they are the remnant, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, Lord, and that you would show them the truth. There are many out there that know something's wrong, and they're looking for truth. Lord, our prayer is that you would reveal that truth to them and that they would come to the realization that they must be born again of the water and the Spirit. And Lord, that you would show them what it is that they need to do to be properly baptized. First and foremost, to repent, to die to their old lives, to go into that watery grave, and to come out white as snow, clothed with Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and their name will be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, that's our prayer, is that you would reveal that to your people, the remnant. And Lord, we do come against the forces of hell that are coming against Christianity. We come against these judges who think that they are above you, Lord. And we just ask that if they can come to repentance, so be it. But if they can't, Lord, any and all of those tares that are sticking their heads up, bold and brazen, just as your word said, Lord, cut them off. We want them off the land or under it. We want this country back, Lord. Let that cry once again be, no king but King Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. We thank you that you choose the weak and the foolish. We pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And we do welcome you again here to the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, where we are broadcasting to you live this morning. Hey, if you hear it at any other time, and you may very well hear it because we archive these messages and we rebroadcast them through the weekend and again on Monday night. But we encourage you to stay tuned in. You'll learn something. You might even learn something out of the Bible. You just never know. Well, Jason, I thought we'd start with you this morning. I know you and Tim had an interesting evening, kind of filled in, had a real long radio program last night. I got to listen to part of your program on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and then you guys went and had a two-hour special filling in for a friend of yours. You want to tell the people about that and maybe how they can hear that program?
Sure, I guess. Yesterday we were privileged to fill in on the Revolution Radio Network for Dr. Truott, and those broadcasts, you can go to revolutionradio.com and click the archives page, and they'll be broadcasted throughout the rest of the day today. But we filled in for Dr. Truott, known Dr. True for a long time, and very good doctor as far as a homeopathic doctor. A lot of different degrees, does a lot of things that he can do to help people, and but we had a really good time over there. That was a lot of fun. We ended up having both the producers that work in the studio there after the radio program call us last night and just went on about how much they enjoyed the show, how it was really educational, and really they thought it was very beneficial. And they said, both of them said they sat there throughout the whole thing and took notes. So they, we could had that opportunity. That was a good opportunity and a lot of fun.
Great. And that's on the Republican Broadcasting Network, the RBN?
No.
Oh.
Revolution Radio Network.
Revolution Radio Network. Sorry. My bad. Revolution yeah. Network Radio. Well, that's pretty neat. I know we've heard of Dr. Truott in the past, and that's awesome.
He had done several interviews with Pastor Peters years gone by, and did a lot of good information on the vaccine issues and on the flu of 1912 and the influenza viruses that have come through and destroyed a lot of large part of the United States, if not the world. It was interesting. I was talking to him the other day, and I was asking him if I could do an interview with him in the near future. I believe that was the pastor's first interview with him was on the flu epidemic in 1912. And so I'm going to be doing one of those with him here in the near future. But it was interesting because I was recently at the funeral, at the funeral home, and then we went from the funeral home over to the graveyard. And I noticed that there was all these people that were buried in 1912. And I thought, whoa, what's going on here? And they actually, down here in Fort Collins, they had to add another 40 acres to bury bodies during that flu of 1912. And a large part of Fort Collins got completely wiped out. They said that over 20% of the northern Colorado population died in 1912 due to that flu.
Wow.
And I was reading that on the at the graveyard, some of the stuff that was had taken place. I came back and was doing some research on it, and it was just phenomenal on how much of the population was really affected by that influenza virus in 1912. And most people really don't realize it, and that wasn't that long ago. But they say that there was millions, between 50 and 100 million people died in that 1912 to 1913 era. And it killed close to some of the numbers say close to 20% of the world population during that, and that was in 1 year. And the thing is, people realize it. They think, oh, that's the thing of the past. We've got better medicine. We've got better this. We've got better that. There was nothing that they could find at that time to stop that virus, and it was just it came in and it left. And that's so much like what we have today. Today they don't have any better way of fighting that exact virus that they had 100 years ago. They, you know, if it came through again, it would have the same effects because they don't know how to treat it. They don't know what to do for it. And it's interesting to think about things like that. I mean, people think that, you know, things like that happened, and that was a long time ago. Well, that was a long time ago. But on a large scale, that's not that long ago. You know, what would that be, 103 years ago? And, you know, I believe that that's when, you know, when God sends something through, there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it. And it's just kind of interesting to note of how many people something like that did affect.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Amen.
I didn't know that was that many.
It is.
I mean, and it affected. It was so bad. They would say that the people. I read a lot of accounts of people that had it around here, and people would be fine in the morning, and they'd be walking to work or riding a bike to work or on their way to work, driving or whatever they had, whatever their means were. But they would end up getting sick on the way to work. They would turn around and head home, and they would be dead before they got home. They said some of the people, the maximum life expectancy that they had by the time they showed symptoms was 4 hours. Now, some of them could hang on longer than that, but a healthy person that worked, in a logging or something like that, from the time that they came down with it till the time that they died was 4 hours. That's a pretty fast working virus. I mean, that's something that's pretty crazy. And we haven't seen anything like it since, but that's not to say that we couldn't see something like that again.
Yeah,
right. That's biblical proportion.
Is. Oh, it was absolutely. That's what they called it. They were calling it biblical proportions back then. I mean, they knew, that's what. They tried everything. They tried quarantining it. They tried, the government tried getting involved in trying quarantining cities from one city from a different city, making wearing masks in public mandatory. Spitting in public was prohibited. They tried everything. And, no matter what they did, they couldn't get it stopped. I mean, it just spread. It was spread like wildfire, and it went from one end of the country to all the way around the world. I mean, there was not a continent that wasn't affected by it. Now, some of the continents over in Europe didn't get it near as bad as the United States did. United States is where it really got hit hard. But it was, it was crazy. And I mean, that's what I found it was crazy is 40 acres. You had 40 acres back in 1912. That that graveyard wasn't that big back in 1912. I think it was founded in 1873. So it hadn't been around that long, and they had to double the size of it in 1 year.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's substantial.
Well, I think that's a good place to go to a scripture. Some reason I was in 1 Thessalonians. I think Richard was, too, this week. Under the subtitle of The Day of the Lord, we'll start in chapter 5 and read 1 through 11. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains from a woman with child. And they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who will get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. Excuse me. For God has not disdained us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing.
Amen.
Encouraging words.
They are. They are. And you know, I would have to think that, Jason, when that plague was rampaging here, that there were many people that were turning back to God the Father, that were turning back to these promises here.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And I think a lot of our people were, you know, a lot closer to God than they are today. But at the same time, I think a lot of them turned to the medical establishment, from what I've been able to find, and that was their God.
Yeah.
And, you know, no matter what time period you're at, you're going to have pockets of them. You know, there was a lot of places that were, you know, I don't know, that people have the tendency to thinking that our forefathers, even 100 years ago, that they were, super godly, and a lot of them weren't. A lot of them were, but a lot of them weren't. So it just depends on, you know, where you're at and what kind of people they were, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, is what would be interesting to figure out is, statistically, those people who died, were they baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Were
yeah.
they? Did they have that protection on them? Were they obedient? I mean, we talk about, we got to get to that point of complete obedience. The very first step of that, at least one of the most important steps of that, is repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. How much more obedient can you be than to do what the Lord told us to do, right?
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, and I agree. That'd be nice. I mean, you know, who's to say there wasn't one of them that was a true Christian that got affected? I mean, it could have been very well that, and that's very possible that it was that not one person who was a Christian got affected by that virus.
Right.
That's not without
and I believe,
realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
We don't know.
That, yeah, I believe we'll have that same sort of predicament, and it'll be the same thing where people will turn to the medical establishment and they won't be able to heal it. It'll only be men of God who have the faith, who believe in James 5:14 and Leviticus 14:15 through 18, the anointing oil. That's why God has given us all of these gifts, these truths over the years. Now all we have to do is make sure that we can get our faith to the point where if we pray in accordance with God's will and His word, we trust that it'll be done. When yes. we pray over someone, we don't even question in the back of our mind that they're not going to be healed.
Oh, when you pray, it's done.
Exactly.
It is done.
That's how the healing was.
And it'll
when
be
Christ...
only those men who have that faith.
Yeah.
It'll be only those men that have that faith that will be able to heal.
Yeah, many times we read of Christ when he would speak to someone and ask what they wanted, whether they wanted their sight restored or their child brought back from the dead or whatever it might have been. And, you know, he would ask them, do you believe? And it's more than the belief-only crowd that you hear today. It's certainly much more than that. And when they would make that public admission, they believed him. Yes, they knew that Jesus Christ could heal, could raise the dead, could fix the problem. You know, many times he would say, go, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has restored you. Go, your faith has done this. And
yep.
it's the faith in him. And that's not just belief. It's not just belief that, because your beliefs can certainly change, but it's believing in, understanding, at least to a degree, and knowing, like you mentioned, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, you can do this. You, Jesus Christ, can do this. And that he wants to. Had a member of the congregation called in from Alaska the other day, and it wasn't Howard. It was another a young man up there that... And asked about, we talked a little bit about the book Christ the Healer and asked my thoughts on it. And I told him I thought it was an excellent book because it's a reminder. It points us back to the power of Christ. It points us back to the promise that we have in him of healing, of deliverance, like was mentioned earlier. And, you know, we have those, but we need to be reminded. We do. You know, there's, you know, all these letters that we read in the New Testament, for the most part, that's what they are. They're reminders. You know, the apostles and the disciples writing to the churches, to the people they have started along the path, you know, just like you read, John, in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. You yourselves know full well. And then he goes on to tell them what they've been told before about the day of the Lord, about when and what to expect. You know, it's reminders that we all need. Faith builders, you might call them. And that book, Christ the Healer, is one of those. It doesn't go... way outside of the Bible to try to have to get you in touch with your inner self and to, you know, align the cosmos and, you know, to just, you know, it just goes right back to the scripture and it says, this is what Christ said. This is what he did. You know, we remind people that, yes, we understand that he went to the cross to save us from our sins. And when we're obedient to him and we repent and we turn from the world and we change and we are properly baptized, well then, you know, we know. Now, we don't just believe, but we know that he has washed away our sins, that he has forgiven our sins. But it's the same scriptures that say he died on the cross to save us from our sins, that say he died on the cross to save us from our sicknesses and from our diseases. And you're right, John,
absolutely.
We have to get to the point to where we know that we know that.
We trust. That whatever we ask, in accordance with his word and his will, it will be done. We don't even question it.
Right.
Yeah, I thought, Jason was playing, what was that, the prayer series, Jason, that had the commentary that Dad did on the Kneeling Christian?
Yeah.
About a 15-minute promotion on the book, said he'd read it several times and that it was an extremely powerful tool.
Yes.
In becoming a better prayer warrior, and I don't think there's anyone that can deny that.
No, absolutely not.
Trying to find a...
Well, we have the phone lines open this morning, Remnant, 307-745-5913. If we get five phone calls at 5 till, that won't work. Just to remind you and let you know.
Yeah, here we go.
I think that there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, people are going to have a bit, I think they'll have the choice. They can either learn to pray now or they can learn to pray in the heat of the battle. I mean, you see so much stuff heating up and so many things different changing. Headlines this week, the Vaccination of All Children Act of 2015. I don't know if anybody's seen any information on that, but basically it was proposed by whatever her name was. She was a Democrat congresswoman from Florida, and it's House Resolution 2232, which basically it's a requirement for state or states to receive any of their grants from the federal government. They want them to pass a bill that makes absolutely no exemptions for any vaccinations. And basically, you've got two choices. You can go to the elementary or one of the public schools and get your children vaccinated. And under the recommendations of the committee to immunization practices. So basically, they want to come up with a protocol. They're saying too many people are missing their vaccinations. They want to come up with a protocol and make it mandatory for every child to get vaccinated.
Yeah, you talk about a sneaky backdoor way, because they've left that up to the states to decide up till now. And they'll still say, oh, it's a state's decision, you know, for the citizens of that state, whether, you know, what they allow for exemptions and how they do it and that kind of stuff, you know. Now you can go down to your local public health department, whether it's your county or state or however it's set up, to get an exemption form if that's what you want to do. And, yeah, you're right, Jason. The feds are coming in and trying to pass this law that says, well, you know, if you want any federal grants or federal money from the federal government, you have to do away with those exemptions. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all they come to do.
One of them is bad enough. But if you look at what their schedule is for immunizing children, you know, I mean, you're talking lethal dose of this, lethal dose of that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean,
before they're 2 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and this is, you should see what they have past that. I mean, you know, they always give them options. Well, you know, and you talk to the doctor before. It's even people that follow vaccination practices. They'll go to the doctor, and the doctors will say, well, you know, I would give them this and this, but I don't know if I'd give them this, or I wouldn't, don't know. But, you know, but regardless, the CDC recommends it. And under this bill, the CDC would have to follow their protocol and get every immunization that they think you should have by the time you're born till the time you're 18 years old. And, you know, that's enough to make just about everybody out there retarded. I mean, these things are bad. And we're talking to a lot of people that understand the dangers of that and know how bad they are. I mean, and that's one thing. But it's, you know, it's, you want to give my child a lethal dose mandatory of lead. Well, you know, how do you think that I'm going to take that?
Well, you guys brought up a good point earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a time coming that the people are either going to, you know, if they're not praying now, they're going to be praying. They're going to be praying, and it's much better to humble yourself now and yield to the God of gods, the King of kings, and basically get on his side now and get in line with him and his will and his way Because when we don't, this is one of the things that are coming. You know, many years ago, over 25 years ago, Pastor, and I don't remember what message it was in, but he explained the difference between a preference and a conviction. You know, many people have a preference maybe to use the New American Standard Bible. Or many people might have a preference to wear cowboy boots or to drive a Dodge. Or whatever, you know. But if that's not available, well, you know, I prefer the New American Standard, but I have a King James Bible as well. You know, but a conviction is, hey man, you got my back up against the wall, and if you keep pushing, all we're going to do is we're just going to fight. That's all there's to it. A conviction is over my, well, it might be over your dead body. That's the difference between a preference and a conviction. And there are some things, you know, the lukewarm Christian, everything's a preference. Well, we prefer this. Well, and I can hear him now, Jason. Well, I prefer not to have my child vaccinated. But if it's mandatory, well, what can you do? Well, I can tell you what you can do.
Yeah, but think of this. Go ahead.
No, just that's it. You can think about what there is to do. And you know, these things that happen, and our pastor taught on it and taught on it and taught on it. These creatures of instinct created to be destroyed. They're like a dog returning to its own vomit. They cannot stop. And now it's because of our sin that this has happened. God's word is true. He has brought, you can read Deuteronomy 28. You can read, and right here where we're reading in our Bible reading plan in 2 Chronicles, you can read here, starting here, right here in the 20s. You read through here. This king comes up. He does evil. The people pay the penalty. King after king after king, and the people are destroyed because of their sin and because they've turned away from God Almighty. And that's where we are in this nation. And there's more coming. And this definitely is part of it.
Look at it from a Romans 8:28 perspective, though. Is God protecting his people? Because we all know that the public school system is indoctrinating our children, and it wasn't happening fast enough, which is why they're implementing Common Core. Now, it may be to a point where you cannot send your children to public school, and you cannot send them to a public university unless you give in to bail and have them vaccinated. We were just talking to Brother Leon not too long ago, and one of his children won't be able to attend. And this is a Christian university because they will not give to bail and have their child vaccinated. So I think it's a protection for God's people is what it is.
For those that have had their eyes open to this, absolutely. But how many will say, well, you know, they'll go along with the crowd, which is what our people have always done, you know, tried to be like the other people. Well, this is what we have to do. And you know, the false churches out there will be, they'll be, you know, they won't tell them about Romans 8:28, but they'll read Romans 13 to them. Now, people, this, you know, this, the government loves you, and this is what you got to do. Simple as that. So.
Yeah, but you know what? God don't want the lukewarm. You're going
right.
to choose ye this day who you're going to serve.
If Baal be
God, serve Baal. And if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord.
I agree.
So same thing with this queer issue. You know, these churches are going to have to decide. God don't want lukewarm, period. You're either going to be cold or hot, or he's going to spew you out. And when it comes to this homosexual issue, if you're going to marry queers, then you made your decision. If you're going to stand against it, if you don't care what the government has to say about your 501, precious 501c3 tax-exempt status, it's going to separate the men from the boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and like you said, I mean, there comes a point where you draw the line. You want to poison my children with lead, then you just might get poisoned with lead as well.
Yep.
Exciting times, man. Exciting
times.
It is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The scripture that I was thinking about is, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of God, I am the Lord. And you know, to me, once you start getting educated in some of these things as far as what they're doing with the vaccinations, how they culture them, what they do, you know, everything from monkey's brain to pig's blood in there, culturing this stuff, heavy metals, toxics, and you look at the horror stories, now, that's just a way of sacrificing children to Moloch, to Baal, to
absolutely
to a different god, as far as I'm concerned.
And they suffer, and that's what they want.
And I would challenge anybody out there that, you know, that has even thought about it, that doesn't understand how dangerous these things are, start looking into it. Get some information on it.
There's plenty of research out there.
Look at the horror stories that are out there. You know, everywhere you turn around, and it could be one of those things that maybe the Lord will use that to wake people up. Because I know a couple of people that have woken up out there to how dangerous these are, and that they were sacrificing their children to demons because they, you know, they did go down and they did get the vaccinations, and their children's lives were either destroyed, or they died, or they became retarded. There's you know, the stories all over the place. I know a man that I've had on the radio several times, done a fantastic amount of research, you know, and he was ignorant to it. His wife was in the healthcare industry. She was a nurse. She took the children down, got their two of them vaccinated. I believe it was a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. The next day, both of them came down autistic. He's like, there's no coincidence here. Well, you know, the doctor said, yep, that's just the way it works. You know, they went from being healthy children running around and not being able to sleep through the night, not being able to take themselves to the bathroom, completely autistic. And he's had to deal with that for the rest of his life. And it's given him a fantastic education that he says, you know, he's dedicated his life to trying to get people to be aware of the dangers of these vaccinations and what they're doing to our people. And he says they're killers. You know, they're killers. And he's actually, you know, spoken a lot of different places and been able to wake up a lot of people and educate a lot of people. So, you know, that's one way that I've seen the Lord work through something like this. But if they make this mandatory, there's going to be a lot more people that are going to be waking up and that are going to be hating things too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
So, anyway, that's something, you know, and like we said, that's something to pray about, is this whole, you know, deal that they're trying to push through. It's something that, you know, we people could use some serious prayer on. It's something that's, you know, it's an attack against freedom, it's attack against your health, it's attack against Christianity. It shows you how our enemies work. And so just to really do encourage people to look into that. I mean, and then they've also, you know, that was the, and I can't remember the name of the one, that was the 2232, that was the one for the children below, from birth basically to 18 years old. And they are also, have recently, which, you know, it shows you when you see these bills popping up all of a sudden and you see them popping up together, around the same time, you can tell that they're working together. And the thing is, our enemies, the way that they try to work is, you know, I don't even want to say it's the way that they work, because I don't want to give them any more power than they actually have. You know, we talk about these things to be aware of it. I mean, these are, as far as I'm concerned, these are some of the best prayer targets. They're targeting our children. We can target them in prayer.
Amen.
And, you know, like John was saying, we have to, when we pray, you know, we have to have the you know, it's not when we're just praying for healing. When we walk away from that and say, it is done. When we pray, you know, against somebody that's targeting our children, that wants to kill them, that wants to destroy them, that wants to turn them into a vegetable, you know, we need to target them with prayer. And when we're done praying, we need to have our attitude needs to be, it is done. You know, it is taken care of.
Amen.
But, you know, in the past, they you know, do the two step forward, one step back, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, you look at these vaccination issues. You know, we were dealing with swine flu, N1H1 flu vaccine. I'm talking about mandatory vaccines for that. How many years ago? That wasn't that many years ago. Right before that, it was the bird flu. Every couple of years, they come back and they try to hit us with something as far as an epidemic. Oh, we're going to have, and there's the chatter and the talk about, mandatory vaccinations for, you know, and out of the last one with N1H1, you know, what did we get? We got a lot of these places that were, a lot of these hospitals and a lot of these places that made it mandatory for the nurses to get vaccinated.
Yes.
Now, a lot of them, there's actually a really good nurses group that it's like healthcare professionals against mandatory vaccinations that have come up, stepped up to the plate and fought it extremely hard. And they went out there and done a lot of work on fighting that. And, you know, that's really good, but that's one thing that came out of that. We've got to be aware of what's taking place, and we talk about it not to scare people, but to educate them so that they've got some prayer targets. And people, these are things that, you know, so many people, they take these bills and they try to hide them, when they're getting them pushed through and when they're getting them to pass. And they, you know, a lot of times people don't even know they're on the ballots, until after the fact that they're passed. But there's another one that is forced vaccinations at federal levels for adults. And I can't remember the House bill, what the bill number was on that one. But that's one that has been proposed as well. So, you know, keep it in mind. But, you know, don't just do nothing about it. Pray about it.
Amen. Amen.
Here's the thing, too. You got to be wise as a serpent, too, right? When someone asks you, if let's say you have to take your child into the hospital or something like that, are there immunizations current? Don't fight the battle against immunizations. Just say yes, they have all the immunizations that they need. And that ends the story right there.
Yep.
You start battling them on the evils of vaccines, and let me tell you something. The cops will be there before you know it, and they'll be force vaccinating your children. And if you're not prepared for it, you will not win that battle.
Amen.
And be very careful who you tell that you don't have your children vaccinated, because there's people who will turn you in for child abuse. So we have to be wise as serpents. We have to fight our battles carefully. Don't tip your cards until you have to.
Amen.
I can't stress it enough. Just when my daughter was in the hospital the other day, the first thing they ask you, are her immunizations current? Yes,
yes.
Ma'am. She has all the immunizations that she needs. Bam, that's it.
Yep.
Don't hear any more.
I've had the same thing with children, taking them in for a sports physical, and here's the form and the person's filling it out. And there's the immunizations, and we've prayed about it before going in, and we had one time. She just checked them off, and she came to us afterwards as we were going over. She said, "I know all your immunizations are up to date." Yes, they are. And that's just the Holy Spirit and God just sending his angel before you to protect you and to protect your child. And, you know, that's part of that praying that I think you mentioned earlier, Jason, and you did too, John. That's part of that praying. That's part about, you know, abiding. You abide in me and I'll abide in you. Ask whatever you want. Guess what? You know, he ain't talking about asking for a new Escalade. He's talking about for the protection and the healing that he offers. Well, guys, let's take a caller this morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Morning, everybody. Oh,
morning.
I got about 15 minutes late. I don't know whether you mentioned it, the correlation between, some states still have a death penalty, and when they're... I heard, must have been 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, they were talking about it on some of these, one of these conservative talk show programs, and they were talking about the shortage of lethal injection drugs. Well, how come there's not a shortage of prescription drugs?
And there's not a shortage of abortion drugs either, Joe.
Abortion or
yeah.
Vaccinations.
Or vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, but there sure is a dearth of a shortage of these lethal injections. I think there's like a series of them that they give. There's pain painkillers, and then they put the what is it, pentothal or something like that?
Yeah, sodium pentothal. And then every now and then, you'll like Utah last year, they brought up Utah, said, hey, we'll just bring back the firing squad.
Why not?
It worked before. Yeah. And then, oh, you talk about these left-wing liberals and these antichrist. Oh, you talk about putting them in an uproar. It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
I just thought I'd...
I think firing squad's a lot more humane. I think that's closer to stoning because, you know, technically lead is a rock.
There you go.
Sure, yeah.
That's a lot more biblical solution than running an IV into somebody and
yeah, especially,
going them that way.
Especially after 12 years of appeals, after 10 or 15 years on death row. Yeah, definitely.
Well, exactly. in the military, I guess it was the Army, in the... Before the turn of the last century, it was considered a like the Bible says, cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. But hanging was considered a cowardly, you know, method of execution, whereas firing squad was honorable.
Mm.
Or so I've read.
Yeah, that's what I've read too, Joe. I've read the exact same thing.
Right. Hey, Joe,
thanks for the call.
Have a good
morning and a better one tomorrow, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Go ahead, John. You had a comment?
With the hundreds of thousands of Muslims that our government is importing, I guess for up to 30 years they've been doing it. And if you wonder why you're seeing so many Somalians and everything else all over the country, it's because our federal government's bringing them in. But I'm wondering if we need to design some sort of little applicators that you can hang on your web gear that you can just, with a sponge on the top or a rubber gasket, that you could just dip your bullets in pig's blood before we fire. might be a market for that, Jason.
There might be, or I wonder if we could get some bone fragments and have them embedded into the bullets or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Any part of the pig... Be nice if we didn't have to touch it, but that's something to look at, or maybe something. We have to figure out something.
Yeah,
there's getting to be a lot of them, though. I'll tell you that.
By design.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The I was thinking the Song of Moses addressed that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, we're seeing so many changes, just earth changes, weather changes. I mean, this weather's been absolutely crazy around here. I don't, we've got water here, but then you look at the some of the places, part of the country that's in this drought, and this drought is absolutely, crazy. I mean, a lot of these places are down 75% on their water. Lakes are down. The reservoirs are down. And we've been really blessed with good rain, good water here, good snowpack. Last snowstorm that we had, we got close to 28 to 32 inches in the mountains. That's huge, especially
yes.
for this time of year. You really don't expect to see that in May. It's not to say that it hasn't happened, but we've seen just changes on all different fronts.
Amen.
Yeah, people don't realize how bad it is in California. For the last 5 years, the farmers have been spending big bucks drilling deep wells into the aquifer, and that aquifer is half to three quarter depleted. And I mean, that takes.
I think it's 38%.
Yeah.
Of what it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not.
So, I mean, and that generally means they couldn't make it another 5 years.
Right. And it's not just Southern California where so much of the nation's food is grown, but it's even up the coast in the valleys of Oregon and Washington State that they get the rain. They get the rain out there on the coast. But those valleys that that are right up there in the middle of the state, that they grow, you know, it's all agricultural up there, and they grow tons of food for this country. and they're in a serious drought as well. Some of the reports of the farmers in Southern California, you know, getting only 10 to 15% of their allotment of water this year, and that's going on, like you said, John, the last 5 years that this has been going. And what the people don't realize here in this country is, you know, so much of our food, of the greens, the lettuce and the broccolis and the cauliflowers and so much of our food is grown in Southern California and shipped all over the country, that if it's not grown there, where's it going to be grown? If they don't have water to grow our food that we eat, and nobody out there can say, well, I don't eat food from California, because if you buy anything from the grocery store, whether it's Whole Foods or Safeway, or anywhere in between, you take a look at where the stuff comes from. Take a look at where the Brussels sprouts and the broccoli and that kind of stuff comes from. If it's not Mexico, it's Southern California. And when there's no water to grow those things, where's the food going to come from? And then, Jason, well, you and Tim were talking, I think it was last week, about the massive turkey and chicken kill off back in the Midwest in places like Ohio and Iowa, and places like that, Minnesota, those Midwestern states. So millions and millions of birds killed over here. A lot less water over there, west of us, to be able to grow food. You read, Remnant, read through the Old Testament about droughts, and read about famines, and the things that, you know, those are things that happen to a people in captivity. And
that's what the Lord's setting us up for.
Absolutely. We are knocking on that door, you know, and we're not just bringing it to you here. We've talked about it. You've heard, like I said, Jason and Tim last Friday, which was the 8th, I think it was May 8th. I think you guys talked about that. That message is archived. I'd encourage you folks to go back and listen to that. You know, hey, put up a garden. If you can put up a greenhouse, put up a greenhouse. Put some chickens in. Jason, you guys were talking about that. We've been able to put 3 dozen chickens in here since then. Had just was doing it and had it set up last week, and have got them in. And you know, Remnant out there, if you can't do those things, guess what? You got some neighbors that do. I don't care where you are. You know, if you're in Pennsylvania, doesn't matter, or New York, you can find. Good food around. You guys talked about that last night, Jason, a little bit about the eggs and the honey. Very interesting stuff, and that's what we need to be doing, people, is, you know, find local honey that you can have. Find local real eggs. Find a local guy with a milk cow that you can get a little milk from somewhere. You don't have to put it on Facebook. You don't have to advertise it on the web or call your state representative and tell him about it. But you do have an obligation to feed your family. You do have an obligation to protect those that are yours. You know, we've seen it out here. It's been a few years, but out here in Laramie, you know, we've got the interstate is east and west and one road north and south. And you get about a 3 or 4 day snowstorm and it closes those roads down. And in 3 days, the grocery stores have no milk, no bread, and the canned goods are getting pretty sparse. That includes Walmart, the Albertsons, the Safeway. It only takes about 3 days. And there is very little food left in town. And so, you know, these things, I like how you put it earlier. I think you did, Jason. Hey, we're not telling you this to scare you, but to warn you and to remind you that this is what's coming, and to be ready for it. Be ready in the Lord.
Well, and that's a good point, except for the thing is it used to be about 3 days, but now it's more like 12 hours. We're getting more densely populated areas, and people are... The interesting thing that I noticed is, like, this new Safeway that they built here. We got a new one on North College, Fort Collins. We got another one down south that's a fairly new one. And these new stores, they don't have any inventory in the back. It used to be you'd have your shelf stock, and they had a quite a large area in the back for stock. All the new stores do not have that. Basically, they get on a truck what they sell off the shelf. And if stuff is selling, every time an item is scanned, that's the new protocol, and they think it's going to save money. And to me, it's just enough for disaster, because when they scan an item at the checkout, it automatically sends a signal to the warehouse. The warehouse automatically pulls it, puts it on a truck, and they've got trucks coming in throughout the day, every couple hours throughout the day, if not every half an hour. It depends on how much they're selling. It's dependent on how many trucks are dispatched. But basically, a truck is being loaded as soon as the item is sold on it. But there's no stock on it.
Right, that's a good point.
I used to hear that when you go to the grocery store or any kind of store, it's like, well, let me see, we might have some more in the back. Well, those days are long gone.
Yeah, they used to have huge freezers and refrigerators and everything back there. That's an excellent point.
Yeah,
and they've completely done away with that. All of the new stores are doing away with that, and even the old stores that had a warehouse area, they're retrofitting to get more room in the store and to do away with their warehouse space. And
you know who started that, don't you?
No.
That philosophy? Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So,
yep.
Anyway, something to be aware of. I mean, and I've seen it down here where we've been hit with snowstorms. And, you know, within 12 hours, we got a little grocery store right down the road here. Within 12 hours, you can't find anything you'd really want. And by 24 hours, there's nothing in there. I mean, there's nothing to eat in there.
We've seen, and that's what I'm presenting.
And that was less than 24 hours.
Yeah, your big areas. That's what you see. That's what you can expect. So you can prepare or not. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Want to invite you all to church with us tomorrow. I think John's bringing a live message tomorrow morning. So definitely be there for John's thoughts and what he wants to share with us. You can come to scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. That's a little early out on Pacific, 9 a.m. starting out there. Don't want to forget you guys. We know we still have some of the remnant out on that West Coast as well. But we do encourage you to come there. Don't forsake the assembly. Come and join us there. We'll have some good music. We'll have communion. And it'll be an enjoyable day.
I found that quote I was looking for in Kneeling Christian on page 18. Fellow Christians, let us awake. The devil is blinding our eyes. He is endeavoring to prevent us from facing this question of prayer. Do we realize that there is nothing the devil dreads so much as prayer? His great concern is to keep us from praying. Someone has wisely said, Satan laughs at our toiling, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray.
Amen.
Amen, and that he does. Well, thanks for joining us. Men, thank you for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling.